You've never let me down before. Well, LeBron, did you see that? Getting a little too cavalier with Kate Middleton. What do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we talk Einstein with Caltech's Diana Kormos Buchwald, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Einstein.
And now, the man who knows you're supposed to curtsy to Kate Middleton, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's taking this King James thing a little too far, that's all, you know. Doesn't give you any rights over it. The future Queen of England. You know, well, doesn't give you any special privileges.
The Queen ever, you know.
Well, she's got it sometime.
30,
come on.
40 years to go.
Yeah. But then I don't think, does Kate automatically become Queen then if she's just married to Will? Or is there another qualifying round? That doesn't seem like reason enough to be Queen of England, does it, if you're married to Will?
I think that gets you right in the door.
Did you see Will standing there just pretending to look at the jersey? You know, oh, jersey, like a Cavaliers jersey. We mean all his wife, this guy's... She's getting elbowed under the boards by LeBron James. I don't know. I don't think that qualifies him to be King of England, is all I'm saying. I demand a recount. All right, anyhow. Let's see. In other news that isn't, the budget food fight moves from House to Senate. These boys need a timeout, basically. Maybe the shutdown is a good thing. Timeout. The court tells Texas to reveal where it gets its execution drugs. If it turns out to be CVS, kind of negates the whole cigarette thing, you know? Won't sell you cigarettes. They will sell you execution drugs. I think it's not a good marketing ploy. Pope Francis says dogs can go to heaven, but not without stopping every 3 feet to stick their noses in things that won't go to heaven. St. Bernard's, I assume, will have priority boarding. Priority boarding for heaven. Have to lose the brandy or go to hell. It's going to be a dilemma for the St. Bernard going to heaven. You know? Want to keep the brandy, go to heaven, lose it. No, keep the brandy, go to hell. Thank God I'm not a St. Bernard. I won't face this problem. Shouldn't be any problem for me at all. Excuse me. The Pope was also given a CD by a singing nun. Did you see that? Which had her version of Like a Virgin on it. Which I found offensive because it shouldn't be Like the Virgin. Yes, well, maybe not. She's Jewish, I think, not Madonna. Adopted religion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you. It's a Molotov that she's Jewish. A real Molotov. In other news that isn't, Facebook will feature a dislike Zuckerberg button. That's kind of cool. They're thinking about putting a dislike button on there, so why not use him? You know, put his picture on it. Or a meh button. Meh. You know, you don't like it, you don't dislike it. It's more of a meh. I have 400 mehs. If Johnny Manziel starred on Sunday looks like trouble, the Browns are prepared to use their third stringer, Jiminy Football Cricket. That was a joke that I worked on late at night. Jiminy Football Cricket will go in for Manziel. Okay, gas prices drop anymore, leisure suits will come back in. But you can afford to let your car run overnight so it's nice and toasty in the morning, so that's really cool. But open the garage door and get out of it. Two things to remember there, these long Wisconsin winters. Consumer sentiment rises to an 8-year high. What? Sentiment? I don't think so. I think it's consumer sentiment. Paul Revere's 1795 time capsule found to contain a coupon for Revereware. Forward thinking, that Paul Revere. Scientists have found a way to convert your bad white fat to good brown fat if you don't mind being lightly sautéed. That should do it. I guess that would be food scientists have discovered that. The full text of Governor Rick Perry's running for president's not an IQ test is as follows. Luckily, running for president's not an IQ test. Cubs acquire another pitcher to re-gift. Thank you for the whoever said it. Was that okay. Poor sperm quality attributed to bad technique. Study shows. I always say study shows, you know, otherwise it sounds like my opinion. Lake sediment found on Mars shows what Minnesota will look like in a couple of years. Torture is bad enough, but the CIA forced terror suspects to sing along with Barney. I love you, you love me, and agony. The Darwin Report finds a surprisingly low 90% of all idiotic acts resulting in unnecessary death performed by men. Right, that's good, isn't it? We all thought it would be 100. So I think that's actually encouraging. Only 90%. And finally, and I mean that, Wisconsin Governor Walker wishes Jewish supporters Molotov during the Hanukkah season, and Mr. Governor, Molotov to you and yours. That's all the news that isn't. And all the Jews, too. Thank you very much for that. Oh, yeah. Now we're moving along. Now we're cooking. Okay, that took that. And actually, Governor Walker will make up for his gaffe by lighting the giant Megillah in the state capitol. The whole Megillah he's going to light up. I want to be there for that. He said he does have a Hanukkah candle in his home. Just one, though. Just celebrates the one day. Okay, I'm good. Well, this is kind of interesting. And speaking of Pasadena, Dr. Diana Kormos Buchwald is in Pasadena, California. Do you know her, by any chance? The Buchwalds at all? Oh, I got to speak a little louder. Okay, never mind. Wasn't important. You probably don't. Anyhow, we now have, you know, doesn't, you don't have to be Einstein, but you do, really, to understand anything that's going on, and we never will. But now there is a thing called Digital Einstein. Everything of Einstein's is now online, and there's a site for it. It's called Digital Einstein. You can look for it. And Dr. Kormos Buchwald is one of the people instrumental in putting all this online. It's amazing. His personal letters are in there, little notes to various, you know, women folk, and back again because he was quite the guy. But all his theories are on there, and everything that he published is on there. So you could actually try to figure out some of this stuff, which I've been doing, and I've really learned a great deal. Not about the subject at hand, because I don't know what he's talking about, but about the women that he knew quite a bit. And let's go on the phone right now with Dr. Kormos Buchwald. Hi, Diana, are you there?
Hi, good morning. Call me Diana.
Call you Diana. Thank you so
Otherwise,
much.
Otherwise, we'll end up with Molotov.
Yeah. And Molotov to you as well. And this is an amazing project. How did you get involved with it, with the Einstein Project?
I'm a historian of science. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to become involved 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Since then, we have marched ahead publishing Einstein's collected papers.
Collected papers?
Yes.
Is everything online, though?
No, because Einstein wrote a lot and had a huge correspondence, and we have reached about his 44th birthday. So everything that was published is online. but was continuing to publish all his papers to the end of his life.
Yeah, and does this include private little notes and such, too?
It includes everything.
Everything?
Yep.
And the family was not, were they on board for all this? They must be.
They were when the project started. And
but now not so much, right?
I haven't heard anything.
Who do we have now that representing the Einsteins that are still living?
There are grandchildren all over the world.
Oh, all over the world.
Yes.
And they're okay with it? You haven't heard anything from any of them about some of the more personal things being revealed about their grandpa?
Well, actually, the most personal things were revealed in 1987 when the first volume was published.
Oh, okay.
And the youth have a way of getting old.
Yeah.
So by now, many of the little problems in the family have been revealed to the public.
Yeah. So it's, the news gets old. That's a good thing to remember. We do have, everything from his birth certificate. And he was born the same day I was, a different year.
Molotov.
Yeah, Molotov, thank you. March the 14th, and I always thought that was significant, but it's not.
And, Pi Day.
Pardon me?
Pi Day.
He was born on a Friday?
No.
Oh, Pi Day. Oh, yes, Pi Day. I get that. 3.14, yeah. For him, that's probably more significant than it's been for me so far.
Yeah, he loved geometry.
He loved geometry, so that's
and
possibly
that's
the reason there. And so we have the male child born at 14th of March, 1879, at half past 11 o'clock. Child of male sex, given the first name Albert, approved and signed by Hermann Einstein, and registered on the 15th in Ulm. That's his hometown, right? Ulm.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was there only for a year.
Where did he go from Ulm? The family moved a lot, didn't they?
The family moved to Munich.
To Munich.
Bigger city, up and coming, joining the Industrial Revolution. They were involved in electrotechnical industry. That was the dot-com boom of the late 1890s.
Yeah. His dad was in direct current, though. He picked the wrong current, right? This is like my dad, everything got into, he's just on the wrong end of the right idea, Direct current you thought was going to be the big deal, but it was alternating.
Yes, well, it survived for quite a few more decades until Europe and the United States standardized electric transmission,
And we still have direct current and so forth, but it wasn't the big, that's why he kept moving. It wasn't just, where did he go after Munich?
Well, his family moved to Italy, to northern Italy.
That's right.
So he spent most of his school years until almost his last year of high school in Munich.
In Munich, okay.
And that was He didn't like school very much.
No. I have his report cards here, as a matter of fact. Let's see here. Oh, this is a heuristic point of view concerning the production and transformation of light.
Well, that's his big report card.
Yeah, no, that was a little bit later, actually. This is what instead of studying, that's probably what he was doing, was working that out. It's a little more complicated. Where are the report cards? I got them here. Some of them are a bit surprising, because he didn't do too well in physics, I noticed, one semester. All right, here we got, I don't know what this is from here, but 1895-96. And let's see what he got here. Conduct was good. Only two absences. His German was good. Should be good. He's a German speaker. His Italian was his Italian was better than his German. That's kind of interesting.
Actually, this is one of those myths about Einstein.
Yeah.
We have great difficulty dismantling.
Yeah.
That Einstein wasn't a good student, but when the first volume of the collected papers was published by John Spatula and his colleague, they showed that just before Einstein got his high school diploma, the grading system changed. So Einstein got very good grades.
Oh, they changed the grading system.
They changed the grading system, so he was in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah. But even relatively here now, in this report card here, look, he got You get as high as a six, apparently. Mm-hmm. I think five is usual, but a six is really extraordinary, which he did end up getting a six in arithmetic and algebra and geometry. Mm-hmm. But in physics, he got a 1 to 2. And that's for two quarters here, it looks like. 1 to 2 and then 1 to 2. And but then in the third quarter, something happened.
Yes.
And he raised it to a six and five.
The grades changed.
That's when the grades changed.
Yes.
I know, but the other ones, they're all relative.
Actually, the poorest grades were in Italian and French because in Germany he had not studied those languages, whereas in Switzerland you have to have three languages because it's a federation of various language-speaking populations. You had to study German, mm-hmm. Italian, and French. And he only had a few months of Italian and French.
Yeah.
But he continued afterwards. For the rest of his life, he was quite fluent in both of those languages.
Yeah.
And we have letters in French. And he even gave lectures at the Collège de France in 1921 in French. And he wrote to his friend, "You will have to help. I'm worried that I won't be able to talk about relativity as well as I would want to."
You know, the French, though, they probably were just laughing at him. You know, if you don't have the right perfect accent in France, you know, speaking, they probably, mm-hmm. you know, must have given him a hard time. But if we're looking here in 1896, by then, all his grades are like the highest grades already, so including artistic drawing, natural history, chemistry, very high, physics, very high, everything up there.
Mm-hmm.
Technical drawing was good, not great.
Yes.
And his French was a 3 instead of, you know.
His French was not fantastic.
Yeah, right. But in Switzerland, apparently, he got all that together and got his. I'm looking through all the. There's a lot of report cards here. Amazing, you know, very consistent. And it does dispel what you said, except in the beginning there, he had a problem in physics, which might have been because his mind was wandering about higher questions than the actual physics that was being portrayed in the classroom, don't you think?
Well, he was thinking about higher questions around that time already. He was wondering what it would be like to travel at the speed of light. What would one see?
Yeah.
He liked to ask himself these kinds of puzzling questions.
Yeah. So he's like the only student looking out the window all day, actually thinking about the speed of light. That's unique.
That's unique. But he was very lucky because he was at a very progressive school. So this last year was in a small, nice school with very few classmates, and he had a wonderful time there.
That in Switzerland? Was that in Zurich?
It was in Aargau, outside of Zurich. Yes.
Outside, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is to Mileva. Is that was
yes.
that?
Yes, Mileva Maric. Yes.
That was his wife, right? He married her.
She first was his girlfriend, and then she was his wife.
Yeah, and then she was not either.
And then she was an ex-wife.
But here's this cute little letter. Dear D, whatever the D stands for, I bet you are surprised to see my hieroglyphics so soon again, knowing what a lazy letter writer I am. Here in paradise, I live in a very quiet, nice Philistine life with my mother, hen, and sister, exactly the way the pious and righteous of this world imagine paradise to be. Meanwhile, I have already studied quite a bit of Helmholtz on atmospheric movements. This is what you always write your, right back home, you know. When you, out of fear of you and also for my own pleasure, let me immediately add that I will reread the whole stuff with you. She was in the Helmholtz, and she was a physicist as well, right?
She was studying to be a math teacher, yes.
Yeah, to be a math teacher.
They were both studying to be science teachers.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Let me immediately add that I will reread the whole stuff with you. I admire the original free mind more and more. You, poor soul, must now stuff your head full of gray theory, but I know well both you and your divine composure and know that you'll accomplish all that with a calm mind. Besides, you are at home and are being thoroughly pampered as is proper for a little daughter. So they're kind of cute letters, at least in the beginning here. They seem to have a decent relationship in the beginning.
Yes, they were in love. They were very young. He was very young, and they were in love.
Yeah.
Yep. And these are rather sentimental letter.
Yeah, he's a nice letter writer. He actually reminds me of my dad used to write my mom little notes. He'd type them on the office typewriter. One was about a tough steak that she had served, and it was apologizing for the steak from the point of view of the steak itself. You know, typed on the office underwood, you know, to my mother. And I say, I still have them. They're all so cute. They're the cutest little thing.
You should keep them.
Yeah.
We may have a digital Feldman edition.
That's the only good writing to come out of the family, though, was that steak. All right, and while all these things are going on, he's talking about the thermodynamic theory of the difference in potentials between metals and fully dissociated solutions of their salts and on an electrical method for investigating molecular forces. So he's still kind of doing like the electrical thing. Is that from the family influence there, or the direct current thing? Is that?
No, he's very much interested in what we call physical chemistry.
Okay.
So he's interested in how ions behave in solutions and how molecules behave either in the atmosphere or in solution.
Yeah.
That was also a pioneering field at the time.
Yeah, and that's really where he started making these amazing sort of, drawing these amazing conclusions and theories, right? It was in this field of particles in solution, or?
Yes, some of that, and thermodynamics and statistical mechanics.
Yeah.
These were topics that he wasn't taught very much at university.
Mm-hmm.
And was exploring them on his own, and was applying for jobs in that field.
Yeah.
The first notification that he wrote was to a famous physical chemist named Wilhelm Ostwald,
mm-hmm.
who had a huge laboratory in Leipzig. And Einstein had difficulty finding work after he finished college. And that was one of them. And even his father wrote a letter asking Ostwald to give him a job, but it didn't happen.
Trying to get him a job, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So the more things change, the more they don't, apparently.
That's one of the most interesting things that people can find in these volumes, is the difficulties of finding employment for young people in a new field, like theoretical physics, which wasn't very popular at the time.
Yeah, and even someone as brilliant as Einstein, if there were.
Even someone as brilliant as Einstein.
Yeah, if there were anyone else.
But he writes to Mileva, he says, I have firmly decided to find a job, any job, whatever, however humble it is.
Mm. So,
support himself.
Yeah.
He couldn't get married without a position in those days.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was the first paper, or what I guess it would be a paper, that brought him to the attention of other scientists in Europe?
Well, we think of the theory of special relativity. In 1905, he writes a large number of papers.
That was the year, right?
We only remember him for the 3-4 papers that he published in what we call the miracle year, or the year of wonder, 1905. Okay. But he had already written many book reviews and article reviews until then. And he was very productive.
Mm-hmm. So relativity, that was in 1905?
Relativity was all right, was an important paper, but he considered himself the quantum theory of light paper the most important one. He described it as his most revolutionary paper. We have very few instances in which he talked about his own work.
Really?
But that one we do have, yeah. And he was brought to the attention of people maybe a few years later at a scientific conference in 1909, where he made a very good impression.
He did.
But he was already 30 years old.
In 1905?
1909.
In 1909 he was 30.
Yeah.
So he was like 25 when he came out with relativity?
26, yep, 25, 26.
That's precocious.
It's precocious. By 40, he felt very old.
He did?
He did.
Was his best work behind him at 40?
General relativity, Some of its predictions had just been confirmed when Einstein was 40 in 1919. Mm-hmm. And that's when he wrote that, with fame, I become more and more stupid, which is, of course, a very common phenomenon. Yes, he felt that his mental processes had slowed down, but he felt by 40 old, yes.
Yes. And you know what's surprising in reading this, in reading his personal letters and reading, you know, trying to understand a little bit about what he was thinking about and what he was doing, and it's, which you can't really do, and you know, if you're me. But what a modern fellow he was.
Yes.
He seems quite contemporary, really. I mean, he's a genius, but, you know, he could be a genius now. No, he couldn't, because we don't have him anymore, apparently, but, you know. You know what I'm saying? He's a very modern, all those things
Absolutely.
That he's saying. You know, yes.
You have put your finger on one of the most interesting characteristics of Einstein. He was very modern in everything, in his way of life, in his career path. He was a man of the 20th century. In his writing style, in his personal demeanor, he was very unlike his professorial colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he earned a living through his profession, which was also rare, until not long before that, scientists were supposed to support themselves, to have money for their own labs, to be wealthy. Einstein was none of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, when he became a celebrity, it probably was the in a way, like sort of the death knell of theory, wasn't it? I mean, that's also a modern problem, isn't it? Is celebrity status?
Yes. Absolutely. Celebrity status disturbed him in the beginning. Then he learned to live with it. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, he wrote, "This awareness of my limitations pervades me all the more keenly in recent times, since I see that my faculties are being quite particularly overrated. After a few consequences of the general theory of relativity stood the test." So
yeah, he thought he was being overrated?
Yeah. He tried to be funny and modest about it. Yeah. Some of his colleagues were displeased with his fame, and some of his colleagues were positively opposed the general theory of relativity. They thought that this fame was undeserved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So there were major meetings in Berlin against a scientific theory.
Oh. There was a lot going on in Berlin at that time as well.
But this is one of, yes.
Yes, one of those things.
Right.
And the celebrity status really started once he came to America, right? That's when the celebrity thing. Really?
The celebrity thing starts at the end of 1919.
Oh, it does?
Yes, and he gets interviewed, and photographers are camping outside his home, and he writes to a friend that since the eclipse expedition, he has nightmares, that he's in hell, and the devil is throwing bags full of mail at him that he hasn't answered yet.
Yeah.
And, yes, he comes to the United States in spring of 1921, his first trip to America.
Yeah.
And becomes a famous face in newspapers, magazines.
The Prince of Princeton.
Well, that happens a little late, 12 years later, when he immigrates to America.
Yeah, yeah. And he eventually meets Marilyn Monroe, so the celebrity status peaks at that moment, I think.
I don't remember.
Or did he meet Marilyn? Maybe he didn't. Maybe that's that actually never happened. But is that, exactly, he was sort of like the Joe DiMaggio of physics at that point.
He was the old man of physics. He was treated as the old man of physics in Prince. He wasn't among the young quantum physicists. So that's why we have the image of the old Einstein so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now people like to talk about the very young Einstein and the very old Einstein.
But in between is pretty interesting too, and it's all here and it's all digital, and people can go, you can go on there now and search it, and you can learn all of, you know, you can actually feel some of the things that he was feeling through the letters, and you can look at some of the ideas and kind of understand it. I don't get the math on some of these theories. In fact, I don't get anything out of them. But you do, because you're a scientist as well.
Yes, so, well, Einstein tried very hard to explain his work.
Yeah.
To the general public. He gave lots and lots of lectures. He didn't like to talk about physics to the general public, but he did. He learned. People were very eager. So it took him many, many hours to explain relativity.
Yeah.
He went to Japan and gave a tour of lectures. He would stand in a square and there would be 3,000 young men listening to him. He would talk for 10, 15 minutes, and then the translator would translate for 10, 15 minutes, and then he would talk for 10, 15 minutes. And these events lasted about 7 hours. It takes a long time.
Yeah. So he was a rock star.
He was a rock star.
Yeah, rock star in physics. And an amazing man.
It's hard to imagine a scientist being that famous today.
Yeah. I don't think there is anyone to that degree. It's great. I want to thank you so much for taking time to speak with us. And we should mention there are printed volumes that you can get, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And what is that series called?
It's the Collected Papers of Albert Einstein, published by Princeton University Press. And okay. Princeton University Press, great credit to have put these volumes up online for free, full text search.
Full text, and they're in German, and you got the
English translation.
English translation, too.
And you can search for words such as truth and beauty and justice and symmetry.
And so they're searchable as well. All these
searchable,
amazing
yes.
things from an amazing man. Thank you so much, Diana.
Thank you so much.
Great pleasure speaking with you.
Pleasure.
Dr. Diana Kramos-Buchwald and the digital. Einstein. Okay. I'm going to read these through again a few times.
Okay, Einstein.
Yeah. Okay, Einstein. I like the personal stuff the best, I got to admit. There's some interesting letters there between him and then he's, you know, after the wife thing, he was actually going out with his cousin, who he ended up marrying, actually. So
yeah.
It gets a little dicey, but. It's like with Picasso. So what? He was Picasso, you know. What else can you say? You know, imagine though being a thinker and having family life. I mean, you know, you're sitting there thinking about these things, and, you know, about the universe. Kind of got to be intense. And then you got kids running around, and you know, the wife is saying, "Did you get the nanny?" You gotta
take out the garbage.
Yeah.
And,
so that could be part of his family problems, I think. You know,
he needed an office, like a detached office.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, he would run upstairs apparently and play the violin, just like Sherlock Holmes. Only not fictional. Because he would think of something. He'd go up and,
I don't think he took opium though.
No, he didn't. He did. No 7% solution. Yes. Okay. So, all right. Did you learn something?
Yeah. Well, I have the biography, that Walter Isaacson biography, that I got about a quarter of the way through, and then
yeah,
kind of stopped. But so did, some of that stuff was familiar.
Did you get up to relativity, or did you?
No, I didn't quite get that far. I got to the college age and just slightly after that. So some of his like letters and stuff you were talking about.
Yeah.
It's familiar to me.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll pick that up again.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
inspiration to do that. Jeff, have you read much Einstein?
Not recently.
Not recently? Okay. This little tune here now.
This is a Cole Porter tune that we've never done before.
Wow.
Because there was a second chord I didn't like, but I changed it.
You changed the chord?
I substituted it. I shouldn't say I changed it. I substituted another chord that's related.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a second. This is a Cole Porter tune you changed the chords on?
Yeah. We, as jazz musicians, we do that all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
I'm shocked. No, I had no idea.
It's related.
Do you have to check with the estate of Cole Porter?
I don't think so. Maybe I'll get the lawsuit in the mail.
Report a chord change?
No.
Which chord was it, and what's it changed to?
Well, it was a D minor chord, and I changed it to A flat 7 with a sharp 11.
Well, that was unnecessary. A D minor?
So the melody went from being the root of the chord to the flat 9 of my new substitute chord.
Well, that changes the whole thing, doesn't it?
Not really.
Totally. So,
well, let's...
Jeff, back me up on this. That totally changes the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, even if it does, it changes.
Even if I knew what I was talking about, it would make...
I'll stipulate that it changes, but it changes for the better.
Oh, you're better than Cole Porter, are you?
That's
and I'm
not
better
what I
than
said.
Einstein, aren't I? Because of my home life.
Yeah, maybe I should just play the tune and...
Okay. Well, what's it called?
You'd Be So Easy to Love.
Oh, great song. John Tooley, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
All right, please be seated. Be seated. Come on, you're embarrassing me. Angela Carlson? Yeah? Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
You seem nice. I want to come over and talk. How can you not like an Angela? You know? Let's come over and say hello. You know Angela?
Not yet, no.
Not yet? He wants to meet Angela.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Not yet. That's just kind of a reflex. He didn't really mean it. Angela.
Hi.
Hi. Stand up, Angela. Say hello. Angela Carlson, everybody. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Sorry, I didn't mean to give you the old King James. Hand on the shoulder there. That was a little.
You don't need to curtsy either.
So, Angela, what are you doing these days? You're an engineer, it says here.
Yeah, I'm a medical engineer up in Lake Zurich. Oh, or yeah. Down in Lake Zurich, I guess.
Down, wherever, depending where you are at the present time. And yeah. And what does that mean that you do then?
I work for a company that makes instruments for blood donation. So instead of donating to a bag, you'll get hooked up to an instrument. And it'll take the blood and split it into the pieces that they're collecting. And then give everything else back that they're not collecting. Yeah,
but what do you do?
I'm a systems engineer, so that's a lot of testing
so
and designing
full
systems.
The machine starts throwing blood around the room. You have to go in there and say, okay,
usually
well.
Usually I'm the one with the blood on my face. Yeah.
So it was a good career choice is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
You always have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And you like it.
I do. Quite a bit. Yep.
Work on other stuff too, like are you actually in the inventing machines and
depending on where
customizing
you are in the
project, machines.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Oh, that's really cool. I don't understand your question at all. Where have you been in England much?
I lived there when I was really little, but it's just always been a random question that I didn't know the answer to. Okay. My question is, why is there a Wessex, an Essex, and a Sussex in England, but nothing for North? There's no Norsex or Northix or anything. So.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I don't know what's the matter with that, but I think it's a question that anyone who's actually English here or from England or spent a lot of time in England can explain why the North receives no such honors.
The North do not have sex.
The North.
No North.
They do not have sex. Thank you very much for that. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Congratulations to you and all you're doing. And, okay. Sorry about breaking up this couple here. Really not your fault, though. Dan Robbins from Glendale asks, I'll get you in a minute. Just calm down. Figured it was you. Will my 3-year-old grandson be able to come here to see you? I really don't know his schedule or what's on it. Why wouldn't he be able to come here? I mean, not under his own power, probably. I mean, he could walk here, but someone would probably have to show him where it was. What's your question? Stand up for a second, Dan. Come on, Dan. Shake it out, Dan. Shake it out, Dan.
I'm hoping he'll have the opportunity to come here by bicycle, maybe when he's able to drive, that you'll still be here.
Oh, you see, it's a question about me as opposed to the 3-year-old.
Hard. It's a question about you, Michael. Yeah. It's all about you.
Why don't you bring the little toddler?
I don't think you'd want him here yet.
I definitely would want him here
after the show, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a deal then.
Maybe we'll what's his name? We can't keep talking.
His name is Quinn. Quinn Tavano.
Quinn, that's a great name. He should be in the movies, if nothing else.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Very nice.
We'll work on it.
Dan, good to see you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for coming. You as well. Thank you. I was just getting started. There's a lot in these cards you don't even know about yet. But we'll get back to those, and we'll make every effort. Before we can do that, though, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz. Yes? Yes. I'm so excited about everything. I get you to come down here. We have to know who can and cannot participate by a local fiat in the quiz. And to do that today, we have...
Sarah.
Yeah. Just use the one name.
Well, okay, Sarah Pittman. I don't know.
Okay, I mean, you don't have to. I'm just saying. People always use just give their first names these days.
I didn't know. It's okay.
And are you from here?
No, I moved here this past summer.
Well, you did from?
From Philadelphia by way of... school in Atlanta.
Okay, so a long way around from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And are you going to school here or are you working?
I'm working, yeah.
At
Epic.
Oh, you're at Epic.
I'm at Epic, yeah.
You're at Epic. You got that look about you, that Epic look.
Oh.
The Epic brigades that fan out across the city. Well, that's very good. Would you take this?
Sure.
Just do that.
All right, the four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Put calories on the menu, and I will eat the menu. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four and last one, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its members, stations, or lackeys. Anyone else who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Woo! Good job! Well, you can have that if you like. Just show up at the parking ramp. That'll get you out of here. All right, so now you've heard all the disclaimers. Now, who wants to try their hand at the What Do You Know? Well, since one person raised their hand, let's try her. I didn't even finish the sentence, so this might be too important to you. No, come on down here. Leave your bag. Oh, don't take that with you. You don't need that. We got everything you need up there. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You are?
My name is Jamie Thompson.
Jamie, from around here or not?
Normal by way of Arlington Heights, Illinois. Normal, Illinois.
You're from Normal?
Originally.
Yeah. Are you here now?
Yes, I am existing here.
Yeah, you are existing here. Jamie.
Yes.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
It's on my bucket list and my birthday's on Wednesday.
Holy cow! There's one out of the old bucket list. Yeah, good. Have a seat there, baby. I used to have those exact shoes you're wearing there. Those.
They're the cool shoes.
The Chuck.
My sister has better ones.
They're Chuck. Taylor.
Yes. They're the best shoes. Not good, really,
Chuck
for walking.
Somebody's shoes. I used to have them. I don't know. No, they're not good because they have no arch support.
They're terrible shoes to walk around in, but they're cool, so
they look nice.
You know, they're suffer good. For fashion.
I've suffered for fashion all my life. I've suffered from fashion as well. I don't know what I'm doing. So, Jamie.
Yes.
Are things good?
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Even better now.
So. Yeah. Oh, good. And do you actually have a bucket list?
Yes and no, but this is top of the list.
If you had one, this would be up
there. It sort of comes as it's like, oh, I've found this thing is on my bucket list.
It rose to the top of your bucket list.
No, it's been on there.
Floated on top of the bucket list?
Yeah, it's been on there.
They always say bucket. I figure it must be liquid. People, it must be all liquid things. Because why would you need a bucket? I don't kick the bucket, but still. Okay, and so what are you doing these days?
Working.
Okay. Working hard? Or?
Yeah. Hardly working.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is like barroom talk or something. not even that quality. We're trying to, that's up our game here a little bit. So what are you doing then?
I work for a small Japanese company. Well, not small, it's just we're the North American branch. Work for a Japanese company. And
Can we say which company? Toyota, maybe?
No. It's a company that makes auger bits, drill bits.
Auger bits?
Yeah. Very high quality.
Well, that augers well for you, I must say. How did you get in the auger bit, Japanese auger bit business?
Well, because I lived in Japan, so, you know, when I was looking for a job, I think they liked that, you know, because I understood the culture.
So you actually speak auger, in other words.
I speak a little auger. I speak more Japanese.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. And what do you do for them?
It's mostly office work. We're the North American branch, so there's a main office in Japan, and then we ship things from our office and warehouse. So
kind of
thing.
Yeah, going good. Yeah, excellent.
It's a small office. I like that because it's low stress.
Good. Avoid stress.
Yeah, I enjoy avoiding stress.
All right, someone out there plays along with you. How do we do that?
Whoever at home would like to play the quiz picks up the phone and dials 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, if you insist on your macadamia nuts being on a plate, you are probably who, is the question. You insist on your macadamia nuts being on a plate. Hey, Rose.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
In Meharon, Virginia, is that right?
I'd be better if I get this answer right.
Okay, so here, let me pose this to you then.
Okay.
If you, let's say you insist on your macadamia nuts being on a plate, who are you? Macadamia
nuts. Hawaiian
royalty?
I don't know.
That's a good, I'm going to accept that. Hawaiian royalty is another answer to this. Or the daughter of the Korean Air CEO. Who had that guy thrown off the plane for not serving her macadamia nuts on a plate. Did you hear about that, Rose?
No, I didn't.
That's okay.
But I'm glad you're accepting the Hawaiian royalty. That worked for me.
It's an excellent answer. It's well thought out, and it's appropriate and everything else. Rose, this is Jamie. She's your partner here in crime.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Rose. Good morning.
Good morning.
You all ready to go, Rose?
I am.
Set for this?
Hopefully I'll do better on the questions.
No, you did. You're doing fine so far. Very creative answer. And what categories have we?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Rose, you pick the first one.
Things I should have learned.
Okay. In school. Okay, what are the closest living relatives to birds? Okay. Is it A, bird dogs, B, crocodiles, or C, flying squirrels?
I'm going to say flying squirrels. What do you think, Jamie?
Seems unlikely.
They always...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Okay, so we have a 50-50 chance here of then A or B, so I'm going to go with crocodiles, maybe?
Crocodiles, interesting.
Could
interesting
be.
Choice.
Yeah, I think I'd agree
with
that.
The audience likes it.
You do? It is. It's crocodiles. I was shocked. They have a common ancestor. Holy cow. I thought that was shocking when I read that, but that's true. They had a common ancestor 240 million years ago. And?
That's one right and zero wrong. And the categories left are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Jamie?
Let's go odds and ends.
Odds and ends. How's your personal life? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay. Say no more. Crows can use tools, all right, but can they remember a human face? Oh, these people have had experience with crows. Look at everyone.
Yes, yeah.
You've heard that.
Yeah,
Rose?
Heard that.
I'll agree.
Yes, they can. They can remember a human face and use it against you.
Two right, zero wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And the categories left are current events, people, places, or science.
Interesting. Rose?
Science.
Science? Okay, science right out of the science category then.
Yeah.
Okay, a man walks from the bar. He's in a tavern. A man. This man is. This man's in a tavern. He walks from the bar, back from the bar, with a glass of Guinness and a Miller Lite. Which is more likely to spill, given the fluid thermodynamics?
I know Guinness is served at room temperature.
Interesting.
So the Miller Lite's going to be colder.
Okay.
I don't know if being colder it'll stick to the glass better, but I'll say it will. So I'll say the Guinness would spill faster. What do you think, Jamie?
Jamie, let's hear you thinking about
it. She deferred to me last time, so I'll defer to her this time.
Are you sure you want to?
I don't. That's...
All right, let's talk it through.
Okay, so probably we want the other one.
No,
yeah.
I'm not saying that
Miller
either.
Light.
I'm just saying let's.
Because it's lighter.
Yeah, maybe.
It'll spill faster because it's lighter.
Less dense.
Is foam a factor? I'm asking. You know, when we think of Guinness, we think of the head.
Good
on
head
it.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just raising
Miller
the question.
Light
I'm
lighter.
Not... What? Miller Lite is definitely lighter than Guinness.
So it'll spill faster.
And there's no Guinness Lite, I'm happy to report, as far as I know. So where are we now?
Where were we? Wait,
which is
where
more
were
likely
we before?
To spill?
I've actually lost track,
walking,
I think.
First
yes.
of all, why is a man walking with a Guinness
That's
and a Miller Lite?
Yeah.
That throws me off right there. Secondly, which is more likely to slosh out of the glass?
Than the Miller Lite?
Miller Lite, you're saying?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Miller Lite, yes, Miller Lite, because the Guinness has got that foam thing on there that actually adheres to the bubbles. People in bubble science will understand that.
Bubble
Holy
science.
Cow.
Bubble, they've won.
They've
you
won.
Didn't, you got to ring the bell, man.
Oh.
There we
ding,
go.
Ding, ding.
Yay.
And so are we going to leave it at that?
Well, it's up to them. I mean, you could take home some prizes, or you could risk it all in the hopes of winning the mother load.
You want to do it? You want to go on? And
well,
get the mother?
It is my birthday on Wednesday, so if I
yeah.
want the mother load.
Mother load, okay. We've got to hurry it. Then we've got to do it. What's left?
Current events, people, or places?
Current events, people, or places. Whose turn is it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's her turn, because
yeah.
I chose odds.
Okay.
Events, so.
Rose?
I took science, Jamie, so it's actually...
Oh, is it my
yeah.
turn? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Plus, it's your birthday.
Current events?
Current events.
Okay. $5.7 billion in lost pleasure by putting what on what?
Lost pleasure?
They put a dollar amount on pleasure lost to human beings if they actually put the what onto the what mentioned earlier.
Can we say that on the radio now?
No. Well, no, not that.
Mentioned
you can't.
Earlier.
Yes. They want to make a change to a well-known device commonly found when dining out. And that would, in effect, cause lost pleasure, which they estimate would cause $5 billion in lost pleasure if they actually do make this change to this well-known device.
Pleasure has a dollar value?
Well, mine certainly does. I don't know, Cherry. I'm telling you.
Calories?
What?
Oh, calories on the menu?
Calories on the menu, she says. Rose? Go along with that?
Yeah.
Calories on the menu. $5 billion in volume.
Jamie, what do you want to know about Red Rover, phobophobia, or big flops? Turn to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. And then whet your appetite for holiday eating with Jackie Alper's Sprinkles, recipes, and ideas for rainbow-licious desserts from Quirk Books. Ruth Reichel's Delicious from Random House. Dan Pashman's Eat More Better, How to Make Every Bite More Delicious from Simon & Schuster. Scott Wiener's Viva La Pizza, The Art of the Pizza Box from Melville House. Karen LeBion's Getting to Yum from William Moreau. And Dan Barber's The Third Plate, Field Notes on the Future of Food from Penguin Press. Rose, you'll begin every morning the What Do You Know audience way, drinking Stephen Brew's breakfast blend coffee, and later in the day, savor smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terra Sue from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right, and we are out of time. I'm very sad, but I can tell you Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Hang on, Rose. Make sure you get that. Great. Thank you. job. Look at all the books. Oh, boy. Oh, a lot of good reading there.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a Texan town of the week, plus a whole new batch of thanks for the memos, all the news that is, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who will be lighting the Molotov cocktails for Hanukkah Tuesday night, it's Michael Feldman.
Just the first one. It's really the eighth night when all the Molotov cocktails are lit. That is quite an amazing thing to see. I just would like to refute the, and I know I've been mentioned as the new coach for the Wisconsin Badgers. I can't say anything about it until the 17th. So I can't comment on that at all. Except if it were true, I would not leave after 2 years. I promise you that. Not at this point. Okay, was I consulted? No. Okay, oh, I got it. Let me take all the stuff out. Say something, John.
At this time...
Whatever's on top of your head. I was thinking about stuff.
What do we do with this time? Memos.
Yeah.
It's time for the memos.
Go ahead. Now just let me play the little tune you play. All right. Now, Okay, yes. Each week we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners, so that memos and listeners shall not perish from the earth. Here's one on toner, which is... I'll do this one, too.
Always a black boy.
I like the occasional toner memo. And here it is. Recently, a used toner was swapped out for another used toner. Crisis! In the past, we have been requested to shake the used toner to make sure it is all used up. If a toner is swapped out for another toner, and I shouldn't have to tell you this, make sure that the used toner is taken downstairs on the CM side to the storeroom to be recycled. Currently, the center does not keep many extra toners around the building for printer or fax machines. They have to be ordered through purchasing through the program office. This could take up to 2 weeks. As regular office supply orders are done every 2 weeks, program services has ordered a new toner for pastoral services as a spare. It is on my desk with the other used toner. Thank you. It's signed by the chaplain himself. Okay, so there you have it. Thank you for that memo on the used toners. And the religious implications of used toners. Now, and I'll tell you, it's been a slow week for good news. That's for sure, all the news that is around here. Only one item that even came close, it wasn't, then it's not good, but it is typical. Here we go. A friendship man suspected of his 10th offense operating while intoxicated denied drinking, but said he had eaten beer-battered fish. The gentleman, I'll leave his name out because I can't pronounce it anyway, he's 75 years old, was stopped October 12th after a deputy noticed his truck cross the center line on State Highway 13, that the truck had a broken taillight, according to a criminal complaint. The deputy said there was a smell of alcohol on his breath, and he failed a field sobriety test for the 10th time, we might add. But this is Wisconsin. It doesn't get serious till the 12th or 15th. Deputies said the man denied drinking alcohol but noted that he had eaten beer-battered fish that night. A breath alcohol test showed a preliminary result of 0.062, which is more than the 0.02 limit he faces because of his previous convictions. He was also subjected to a blood draw, which came out very heavy in the fish oils. is scheduled to be in court on January 21st. So that's it for all the news from around here. It's not good, but if nothing else, please keep it in mind during the holiday season. Go easy on the beer battered fish. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, each week at this time, or around this time, or somewhere near this time, and some weeks not at all, Sarah. It's nothing personal.
I know.
But it is our town of the week. And here is Sarah Nix.
Our town of the week this week is Kermit, Texas, which is the seat of Winkler County in the very western part of the state, about 10 miles south of the New Mexico border. Archaeological evidence suggests that the first human settlements began in the area more than 1,000 years ago. Oh. People seem to move into the area because, although much of this part of the country is dry, of course, water is readily available in what is now Winkler County. European explorers moved into the area.
What was it before it was Winkler County? Oh, I mean in the previous.
It was just desert. Okay. European explorers moved into the area around 1850 as they searched for a wagon route to California.
Was Kermit one of them?
I'm going to get to Kermit. Just hold on 1 second. Thanks to the water supply, some European settlers took up the land for ranching, and Kermit started out as a supply center. It became the seat of the county in 1910 and was named after an early visit by Kermit Roosevelt in the 19-teens.
Was he one of the Roosevelts then?
He was the son, in fact, of the former president, yes.
One of them anyway, huh?
Yep.
Of Teddy.
Yes. The first post office and public school went up in the same year, and the town grew slowly with many families moving.
Well, it must have been a nice visit if they named the town after him as a result.
My sense is that this was a really small little place in the middle of the desert, and they were looking to cling on to any fame they could.
Even if it was named Kermit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think there was no frog at that point, so it was just like...
Yeah. Today, this would never happen today.
No.
Because of that, for the reason you cited.
Because of the frog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do we know anything about Kermit Roosevelt himself? Was he a war hero? Or I know one of the Roosevelt sons was a war hero.
I don't know. Do you guys know?
I don't think it was Kermit.
No,
though.
Nobody knows. Okay. So the first post office and public school went up the same year, 1910, that it became the seat of the county. And the town grew slowly. Many families moved away, though, during a drought in the 19-teens. By 1924, there was only one family left in town. All of that changed, of course, when oil was discovered nearby. By 1929, 1,500 people were living in Kermit. The population waxed and waned with the oil business and the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. But by 1960, there were nearly 11,000 people living in town. These days, the population is about half that. If you're visiting, you might want to take a short drive northeast to Sand Hills State Park. There are 70-foot-high sand dunes there, and you can sandboard, sand toboggan, and sand surf. Mm-hmm. Which all sounds a little chafy to me. I'm betting you can also get a suntan, if that's your game. And if you're looking to catch some local sports, check out a match between the Kermit High Yellow Jackets and the neighboring Monahan Lobos. And that is our town of the week, Kermit, Texas.
Lobos. I'm trying to, you know... the fluctuations in population. I've been trying to keep track of the fluctuations here. It went from one family, then it went up
1,500,
and then it went up all the way up to 11,000, then it went cut in half after that. So now it's with 5,500.
Yeah, you got it. Or around thereabouts.
There.
Yep.
Around 5,000.
It's pretty fun. You know, you call these small towns, and it's like the judge. You're supposed to call the judge. You're supposed to call the newspaper man. Then they say call the
Did you?
Yeah.
And you talked to them?
I did. The judge was in court, so I couldn't talk to her. But I got some background on the town.
Yeah. Who is your best source in Kermit?
Well, I don't know. It may be somebody we're going to talk to shortly.
But I mean for your information.
Oh, there was a great newspaper guy. I can't remember his name at this point, but he runs... it's actually not a paper. It's a website, a news website. And he suggested that I talk to his competition, that he may be the best source of information.
Oh. Well, you know what? We got Rodney Hayes now on the line. Lyle's been dialing randomly. Came up with Rodney Hayes in Kermit, Texas, and he can tell us how much of that is accurate or not. Hi, Rodney. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing good. Thank you. Are we going to catch you at a good time? Or
yes, sir.
Got a few moments here?
You bet.
Well, what's your morning like so far?
Oh, I've been busy.
Yeah.
Been busy.
What you doing?
I run the local florist here, and I'm in the middle of four funerals.
Oh, my God. Do you have time to talk about this?
Yeah. My first one's not scheduled till 2 this afternoon.
Okay, so at least they're not all at 2. That'd be
That's right.
That'd be impossible. Well, I'm
That'll come around Monday.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear all that, but I'm glad for you because that's your business. And
that is part of our business. Yes, it is.
And meet the needs there in Kermit. Did you happen to hear what Sarah said about Kermit?
Yes.
Fill us in on some of this now. Some things that you could add to that or perhaps something you want to subtract.
Our population over the years has fluctuated. Right now we are in the middle of an oil and natural gas boom. And so our population 2 years ago was sitting at 5,700. Mm-hmm. Right now we're probably up close to 10,000.
No kidding, wow.
Yes, lots of RVs, people here from all over the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, for work, it's unreal. It's just unreal. There's five major highways that come into Kermit. Mm-hmm. Starting anywhere about 5 o'clock in the morning, the traffic is just unmerciful.
Really?
You know, it's crazy.
So
but
it's an adjustment.
It's good.
An adjustment. It's good for business, but it's an adjustment for everyone who's living there, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, especially the old-timers.
The old-timers, yeah. Are they complaining somewhat about it, or are they learning a little?
No, they don't understand. You know, they're in their upper 80s, early 90s, and they get out on the highway, and just with the fluctuation of traffic and everything, they're basically a safety hazard sometimes.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? But anyway, it's lots of heavy truck traffic. It's big trucks, you know, moving oil derricks, you know, oil field equipment.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, it's very busy.
You got to get into some of those orange triangles on the back of their Hudsons.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's a good one.
Yeah, thank you very much. Every once in a while I get one. But, are you a local? Were you born?
Yes. Been here 56 years.
Yeah. So are you a Yellow Jacket? Or?
Yes, sir. Yes, graduated from high school here in 1976.
Yeah, did you play any ball or what?
No, I wasn't. But let me tell you, back then, everybody, if you're a Yellow Jacket, born a Yellow Jacket, always a Yellow Jacket.
Yeah. But what's it got to do with playing ball or not?
Pardon? Yes, whether you played ball or not, you were still a Yellow Jacket.
Yeah. Well, did you go out for anything? Or?
No. Basically, no. Wasn't really sports. Did other things in high school, wasn't in the sports field.
Drama?
Yes, some, you know, helped with one-act play, this type thing.
Yeah. Play an instrument?
No, wasn't in the band, but I was one of the carry-alls for the band. You know, they went out on an out-of-town trip. Well, you know, they had to carry a couple of flunkies to haul the instruments, so I was one of the flunkies that helped with that.
Yeah, and you say that respectfully, I'm sure.
Oh, you betcha. Mr. Gilligan or Bandre said, we was one of the most important part of the band because we were the ones that did all the instrument moving.
Yeah. Well,
loading them and unloading them.
They have to say that or no one's going to do it, you know.
That's right.
Pretty much. And school, and who was your favorite? Let's give a shout out here. Who was your favorite teacher?
One of my favorite teachers, of course, so many of them are deceased now, but her name was Noreen Kitzinger, K-I-T-S-I-N-G-E-R.
Yeah.
Very, very lovely lady.
And what did you learn from her?
She was one who kind of instigated me in the field I'm in now. She was an art teacher at high school.
Excellent.
And then I had another one, a Miss Hampton, H-A-M-P-T-O-N. She was my bookkeeping teacher.
Yeah. And your spelling teacher did a great job with you, too.
Oh, boy. No, she didn't do worth a litter there.
Yeah, but you can spell everybody's name, and that's rare.
I can spell my teacher's name. You better believe it, man. You didn't get out of line there. Oh, boy, they'd yank you up in a New York second.
Yes. I got that one. You got a family there going on now,
sir.
Rodney?
Yes, I do. My wife's here, and I have my daughter who married 2 weeks ago today.
No kidding.
And
Who did the flowers for that, Rodney?
I'm me. I, me, and myself did her flowers and both of her cakes. So anyway, that was a busy day.
So would you have to pay yourself for the flowers then, or how does that work?
I kind of got left out in that aspect. But no, it was a lovely wedding, and so got me a son-in-law, and we have a beautiful little 3-year-old granddaughter.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wonderful.
And they live here in Kermit. So
they do.
We get to see them on a regular basis.
Well, that couldn't have worked out better.
That's right. We're very blessed.
Yeah. Excellent. And he's a good guy?
Yes, so far. Yes. So far. He's been real good. And they are happy, and we wish them all the happiness in the world.
Yeah, no, we do too. Well, that's wonderful. If we were coming down to Kermit, and I know you're busy now and you couldn't take us around or anything, but where are the few spots that maybe you would know about that other people wouldn't know about that you'd take us?
One of the things she mentioned was the Sand Hills. And now, we do a lot of sand drags out here. You have, you know, the big dune buggies and everything.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
With the big wide tires. That is a very popular sport.
Yeah.
And that is an awesome sight.
Yeah. The other do you have one, Rodney?
No, but I sure like to go. If we go, I rent one.
Yeah.
You know, there's rentals on that type of thing.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And then several years ago, we had, they call them sinkholes. I don't know if you know what that is. It's just where a big hole opens up in the ground. We got two of them, the biggest ones in the U.S.
No
just
kidding.
2 miles north of south of town.
Uh-huh. So there's like caves
really
or something,
awesome.
Caves underground that collapse or something like
well,
that.
Well, it's basically where they pulled, what the geologists say is where they pulled oil out of shallow wells.
Oh,
and they needed to, they should have packed them with something, but back then they didn't have the technology in the 30s when that was done. Yeah. Anyway, those domes now have begun to collapse and opened up these huge holes.
But are they tourist attractions? They collect a lot of tourists?
Well, people go out and look at them. They're fenced, you know, and everything with 12-foot fences around them, but you can take pictures of them and everything. It's kind of spooky, and you know, if you live out here and know about H2S and some of that type stuff, you know, it is kind of creepy when they first open up, you know. But it's an awesome sight to see.
Yeah. I know they have in Florida quite a bit, too.
Oh, yes, Florida has them. And I have a little small plane that I fly over a lot of times and take pictures and keep up with what's going on with them.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that'd be one thing you'd want to see. Mm-hmm. And just kind of go around and see some of the small aspects of a small town. We've got a two brand new schools, a brand new hospital, and I mean, this doesn't sound like a whole lot to be excited about, but the city has just had both of our water towers overhauled and repainted, and they have our school mascot back up on them.
All right.
So everybody's real proud of those.
Again,
we have a lot of. We're just a typical small community. Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, but a boom town at the moment, anyway.
It is a boom town at the moment. We have lots of RVs. You know, and any land that has come available inside town, they've demolished the housing or whatever was on it and moved in. You know, RVs make spaces for RVs to park. So it's booming.
Yeah. You mean they knocked down people's homes so they could put in an RV parks?
Just old dilapidated structures that were, you know, just sitting there. You know, the county, cities were not gaining any tax revenue off of them.
Okay.
So they put the land up for auction and gave them 30 days to clear it and do something with it.
Yeah.
And it's really cleaned our little town up.
Oh, okay.
It really has. Our town was really getting to where it looked dilapidated.
Yeah.
And but a lot with the city coming in and doing that, it has cleaned a lot of that debris up.
Okay.
And gotten rid of the eyesores.
Now, let's say night has fallen. We've had a wonderful day up there doing the sand buggy thing and all that stuff. And we're looking for a little, you know, something to eat and maybe a little, you know, line dancing or something. I don't know what goes on in Kermit, but where do we go?
Well, several good restaurants here. One thing about it, we're close enough to the Mexican border that we have several really, really good, you know, Mexican food restaurants, and it's authentic. It's not, you know, the stuff out of a can, so to speak.
Yeah.
And nightlife.
Is it the green? Is it the green chili kind of thing? Yeah.
Oh yeah, green chilies and jalapenos. You better believe.
Yeah. I like them green chilies.
Oh, you bet. You bet. And anyway, nightlife. There's a couple of just typical West Texas. What we call them beer joints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you could go to. Sometimes you'll catch them with a live band. If not, they'll have a jukebox, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So,
which one do you go to, Rodney?
The one I go to is called Texas Moon.
Texas Moon?
Texas Moon, M-O-O-N. Mm-hmm. Texas Moon.
There you go spelling again. I tell you, you're a speller. You're a speller at heart, right?
Well, a lot of times they say with our Texas brogue, it's hard to say if we're saying noon or moon or what.
I understand
you
perfectly.
I spell it. You bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, it's a nice little beer joint to go to.
When you walk into the Texas Moon, do they have like any eggs or something on the, you know, those boiled eggs or anything? What's in the jar on the?
Pickled eggs,
yeah.
They sell those. Usually they have popcorn and what we call bar trash, you know, which is just, you know, kind of like Chex Mix, so to speak. You know,
okay. So you don't mean the people the people at the bar. You mean the stuff behind the bar.
Yeah. Well, they have it out there in baskets. You just grab a basket down and, you know, and if it gets empty, you go over to the popcorn machine and fill it up.
Yeah, and they cost you nothing?
No, it's free. That's Cobb.
I'm there.
You better believe it.
Thanks, Rodney, for your time. I know you're busy. Thanks so much for talking to us. We have a little something for you.
We do. Rodney will be sending you the best of the Badger State in an assortment of cheeses made without artificial growth hormones, animal enzymes, or genetically modified ingredients from Southwest Wisconsin's Cedar Grove Cheese.
Cool deal.
From us to you, from here in Wisconsin to you in Kermit.
Well, you bet. It was great talking to y'all, and y'all have a blessed holiday season.
You too, Rodney. Very much so. And the family, and the extended new family as well.
You bet.
Nice
you
talking
bet.
To you.
I'll pass that on.
Rodney Hayes from Kermit, Texas. Town I like Rodney Hayes. Okay. Down there and say you want to do this thing now. You got
sure.
Take
somebody
the...
want to throw the dart? We got to throw the dart for next week.
Yes, we're getting this down pretty good here now. Yeah. Look how we're doing this now.
I know. I'm even it's walking down rolling. The stairs.
Walking
while
down
talking.
There.
Yeah. I'm pointing the microphone in the right direction.
Picking someone out
and
of the audience.
I'm coming to see you, in the hopes that you might want to throw the dart. Sure. Okay. What's your name?
Caden.
Tell me again.
Caden.
Caden. How old are you?
10.
Do you have dart throwing experience?
Nope.
Great. Let's start now.
Don't aim them at me. Okay, I'm just moving over to the right here.
Come this way.
It's
up
first
the stairs. And I would say try to aim away from Texas, only because we've had lots of Texas.
Texas is full of dart holes, as you can see.
Nothing wrong with Texas.
Sinkholes. A sinkhole forms every time you hit it with a dart. Oh, I just whip it in there. Oh,
all
there
right.
You go.
Thank you.
What did you hit?
We got Cedarville, California. Thank you. Michael?
Explore Columbia playing cards for you. Very nice. That's from Columbia, Missouri. You can trade those with your friends if they'll give you something for them. Thanks, dude. Good job on that. Okay, there. Yeah, I saw you sort of talking to yourself there. Are you going through some chords in your head or something?
No, I'm just getting prepared.
Yeah. Well, what do you do when you do that there, then?
Well, I just review what I'm going to play.
Do you? You mentally go through, like, the chords? And
well, I...
Changes and
I
all?
Have my, I can put my fingers on the keys if I'm not playing, yeah.
I know, but you look like you were saying something.
I know.
So if we
my
were,
mouth moves sometimes, but I'm not saying anything.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, a lot of people tell me that.
Okay, so what do you got for any surprise chords in this
no,
number?
This is... pretty regular chords. This is by, I thought this was the guy we saw in New Orleans at one time. This is a tune by Little Johnny Taylor, but that was Johnny Adams. So.
Oh.
Different guy.
Little Johnny Taylor, yeah, I don't know.
But this is Little Johnny Taylor.
Sounds
this
good.
Is called Baby, You Better Get Hip to Yourself.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. Oh, all right. Watch out here. These steps are treacherous. How do you feel about club sandwiches? Ben asks. Well, I don't know. Ben, it says Ben with a question mark. Madison, question mark. And student, question mark. So this is pretty doubtful, whatever this is. But where are you, Ben? How many different ways can you feel about club sandwiches? For or against, right?
For or against.
Why would you ask, though?
Well, I think it's kind of divisive sometimes.
All right. Just cry for help. It's not really about club sandwiches, I'm thinking. You
well,
know?
Sometimes a club sandwich, the bread is not right.
I think it goes deeper than club sandwiches.
Too much bread, yeah.
Like, I would never order a club sandwich, I guess.
Yeah, and where does the club part come in?
What?
Because it used to be at a golf club, probably, was when...
You think a golf club or... That's where the first club sandwich went?
Like a tennis club, like a country
or a gentleman's
club?
I don't
mean like an actual like golf club. I didn't mean like an actual golf club.
I mean a club where they play golf.
Yeah. Or tennis or whatever.
Or whatever the sport would be. Do we know? Why would you even care?
I don't care much.
Is that why you put question marks after everything?
Yeah.
How have you been doing that?
Putting question marks after things? Not long. I probably just this morning.
Okay. How are things going in your life otherwise?
Great. Yeah. This is like one of my last weekends in Madison here. So.
It is. Where are you going?
I'm moving to the Twin Cities.
Well, that's too bad. Huh? You're from the Twin Cities, sir?
Northfield, Minnesota.
Close enough. That's close enough. Yeah. So that, when you got a job?
No.
Going to school?
No.
Okay. Girlfriend?
That's right.
Okay. Cool. That's the best answer, isn't it, really?
I think so.
Everything else will follow.
Yeah, she's got a job. Yeah. No.
Does she have insurance, health insurance?
She's got health insurance.
Yeah, yeah. Credit cards.
Credit cards. Fridge full of food, stuff like that.
Okay. Well, I feel much better now. I know that was because the club sandwiching was just a cry for help.
It was mostly a cry for help.
Cry for food, probably.
That's right.
Well, nice to meet you, Ben.
Nice to meet you, Mike.
Good luck up there, and come back as often as you can. We'll have a sandwich. All right. Let's see. What's the best way to deal with this fog I'm in? Mark Reynolds from Wheaton, Illinois is in a fog, apparently. Yeah, it looks like he's still in it, too. There's a little... I see some precipitation, actually, over his head right now from here. And why don't you come down here, because you can step on them. They probably wouldn't mind so much if you did it. Because you seem like a nice guy, Mark Reynolds from Wheaton. So you're in a fog. Is it kind of a mental thing?
Well, it's I think it's more political than anything else.
You're in a political fog. Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just remember taking in a political science class where we talked about foggy bottom in Washington D.C. and I just kind of wondered if that's spreading because when I got
now
here,
it's foggy everywhere, not just the bottom.
Here, I just look out the window and you can't even see the lake because
you
of the
can't
fog.
See the lake. By the way, so if you're driving that direction, be aware there is a lake. And fortunately, there's ice on it, so, you know, you'd probably be able to get off it again. But
Anyway,
right out where this beef or a window there, right behind John, is a lake.
Yeah. So that was kind of the question, you know, how do you deal with the fog here? And
The psychological fog or the physical fog?
Well, actually...
there's nothing you do about either, actually.
more the psychological, I think.
Yeah. I'll just go with it.
What'd you mean? All right,
I started, you know. Here, this is my... It works for the physical or the mental fog. You just sort of do this here. You look upward, kind of. And then just sort of your mouth's open a little bit. And then you... I blink my eyes quite a bit.
And well, I do have
works
a
for me.
Follow-on question. I don't know if you know the origination of the... why that certain area of Washington, D.C. is called Foggy Bottom.
No, is it a depression? I thought it was like a physical depression there that collected... fog.
Yeah, I think you're right. But you know, there's some maybe something to be learned.
That's a whole different question.
That is. Yeah. Yeah, I think there might be something to learn though from the fact that fog limits vision and it's sort of
ironic.
You're
making too much of it.
Yeah, you think I am?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I'll just go with go with your advice.
Because like then what does Milwaukee mean? There you go.
Well, do you know what Chicago means?
Stinking water or something
like
that.
Yeah, something like, onions, right? Stinking onions.
So. Stinking football team or something like that. I'm not sure. It's translation from the Ojibwe. Okay.
Okay. Good talking to you.
Nice talking to you. We cleared up a lot of that fog. I could feel it rising. Why do you need a smartphone, Jan Martin? Why do you need a smartphone? I think they left. Probably forgot his phone. How do I get a blue ballpoint pen out of my shirt? Sarah Pittman wants to know.
Pen mark.
Oh, that was you again.
Me again.
Oh, pen mark. You got to put that in there.
Right now, I thought she did.
Who wrote that?
I wrote it. Well, the mark or me or what? The question.
My microphone. I gave it to you once. It's not going to happen again.
It says Mark right there.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. It was above the line there. Okay, okay.
Yeah, okay, so how do I get
just, that's not as interesting as the other question.
So. Okay. Well, how? Do, well, then.
I'm sorry. I just misread it. Pardon me. Oh, pardon me. I didn't mean to step on it. Hairspray. Yeah, Aquanet.
Okay.
Aqua. Huh?
Aerosol.
That's so useful. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's so useful. If you have Aquanet on you, it's really useful. What do you call a lazy baby kangaroo?
Couch potato.
Okay. What was it again?
A pouch potato.
Thank you very much. A pouch potato. That's Susan Pittman. Okay. Does Menards recycle fluorescent bulbs? You know, sometimes I think you expect too much of me. I don't know that much to begin with, and I certainly don't know about the recycling practices. How do you recycle? It's like, you remember the 40-year-old virgin? They recycle them, but they go out in the parking lot and they smash them against the side of the loading dock. But I don't know. What else would you do with it? What do you do with them? Do you know, sir? Do you know about?
Not at this time,
you don't?
No.
Can you come back when you do? Can I get you to stand up? And I'm just going to lean towards you. Yeah.
Yes.
The microphone kind of puts a kibosh on.
Kind of got spots. Wasn't sure it was a microphone. What am I doing with my.
What did you think it was?
No.
No, you didn't.
So the question is.
Yes.
That's the answer. Yes.
No. Recycling. Can you actually recycle a fluorescent light bulb or tube?
Not to recycle, but I do take them kind of somewhere between my city and another city where they accept them. I don't know what they do with them.
When they're accepted somewhere else. And in what sense of the word? You mean, are they welcome, like open arms? Or do they act, what do they do with them after they accept them?
They close their door. I have no idea what they do with them.
Well, what business are you in? Let's see if you're qualified even to speak of this.
I am retired at this time, and from Northfield, Minnesota. I have to say that again for a little plug. I know, it's just something.
To harp on it. You keep.
Okay, but I'm retired, and I taught 5th and 6th grade in Milton, Wisconsin. And went up to Minnesota to see the Grand... 10,000 lakes.
Yeah. What does this got to do with fluorescent tubes?
I could take it one more step. Can I say a shout out, kind of?
Sure.
My son-in-law is opening a craft brewery in St. Paul called Bad Weather. Isn't that kind of a neat name? Bad Weather. So it'll be opening 1st of June. So let's come up there.
Okay. And your name is?
Tom Boylan.
Boylan, ladies and gentlemen, he's a font of knowledge. A font. You're a font of knowledge. So what did we learn from Tom? That is it your son with the brew pub? Son-in-law.
Free samples would be appreciated down here.
Okay.
Just saying.
Did he pick that up from you, that home brewing thing? Do you brew any?
On his own.
On his own, okay. You never did that at home? Did he brew anything at home or still or anything? Yeah, still? Your grandfather is still? In where? In Northfield? I'm not going to go to it. I just want to... In Wisconsin or in Minnesota?
Minnesota.
In Minnesota. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Megan Thompson from Normal. Do you have a favorite movie, book, musical adaptation? No, this is a pretty complex question, actually. It's a taste thing. Where's Megan Thompson? Oh, hi. How are you? So you're with our... Yes. You're with Jamie, huh?
Yes, she's my twin
sister. Oh, yeah. One of you is blonde.
He's not natural. This is the natural hair color.
You're pointing to the roots and you're saying that's the natural hair color?
Yes.
That's what you have, actually.
No, I dye my hair. She bleaches her hair.
Okay. So what's your natural color then? Your roots look pretty good.
That's
right down there. Why am I miking your roots? Isn't that weird? First time I ever mic'd anybody's roots on the show. And Jamie, congratulations. And so what are you talking about?
Well, because the movie Into the Woods, it's based on a musical. It's coming out on Christmas, and it's a musical, and they're making it, I just said that, into a movie. And yeah. I love it, but how's it going to be? It might not be good. Like, I love Pride and Prejudice, but I don't like the 2005 movie.
No, it wasn't good.
Well, it was beautiful.
I like the Pride, not so much the Prejudice.
Yeah. So do you have an adaptation? Like, do you have a favorite book that was made into a movie that you didn't
like?
I
had a book that I saw a movie of that made it any better, that's for sure. And ruined everything. Because you read a book or something, it's all the characters in your head, and you know what they should be. And then they make this movie, and they get them all wrong. The worst, for me, was 1984. You know, you read 1984, it's like an earth-changing book. And then they do the movie, and it was, who is that guy who played? Huh? The Irish guy. Not Pat O'Brien, but I don't know. It was totally wrong for the character, so...
I just love
Who's in the movie?
Into the Woods. Anna Kendrick. She's the only one I remember. Meryl Streep. Yeah, thank you.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, it's just I've loved it for 20 years. And yeah.
I wouldn't go to see it.
No, I'm probably going to
only
see
break
it.
Your heart.
I know that I am a little worried, but I'll probably go see it.
I would take a sedative when you go.
I'll just cry a little, maybe.
Just be seeing the pictures in your head while you're watching.
I'll try and be singing along with the songs, and they'll be different.
Is there a favorite song of yours from that?
Ooh, no. Giants in the Sky, maybe.
Yeah. Can you have a few bars of that?
Oh, please, no. You don't want me.
You know Giants in the Sky?
Do we know it? No, we don't.
It's Jack's song. He's singing about being up in the sky in the, with the Giants. And
Jack's song.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh, Jack and the Beanstalk. It's his song. Go ahead.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I don't know it.
Take it from the top. Change all the chords on it if you want to.
I don't know that one. I got to know it first before I can change it.
No, it's just that he has the last note that he has, if you've seen the original version. It's such a clear, beautiful note. That.
You remember the note? We can do that.
James, my sister.
Okay, beautiful. Now you don't have to see the movie because you heard the note. Thank you, dear. What fun sisters they are, aren't they? Are you a sister, too? No? It's the Thompson sisters, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here. Because we got to have something to do at this part of the show, basically. And I'm sorry, what?
My husband wants me to go up on stage for your quiz.
Your husband wants you to do what with me? Wait a minute. What did you say?
He wanted me to go up on stage for your quiz.
Well, that's disappointing. What? Did you? What is your motive?
I just let her have one. I don't know. I wish I had a motive.
Did you, in fact, ask her to get up on stage with me?
Yes.
So do you want to do...
My husband really should go.
No. She'll be perfect.
I'll go.
You think he should?
Yes, I do.
Why wouldn't he recommend himself?
I really don't understand him today, so I think he should go.
Have you understood him prior to this?
Not very often, no. No.
This is one of those moments.
A lot of moments like today.
To talk it through a little bit and ask him what his thinking was?
Well, I just did. Why are you keep pushing me to go up there when you want to go?
I don't. Hey, you're doing just fine.
I think he should go.
Okay, now we've reached a turning point on this whole discussion, or a tipping point. And should we just save this all for the drive home and I'll pick someone else? You know, we can...
No. Go on, Roger. I'll go.
Okay. Come on. Well, let's see if you qualify. Excuse me, I'm going to step on whatever he got here. So, yeah, I don't want to step on those. Those are nice. And even those are nice. Look at, they're all practically shiny. And what's your name?
My name is Sue Kuick.
Sue, are you guys from around here?
We're from Menominee Falls.
Menominee Falls.
Yeah.
Von Schlehorn, Main Street. Is Von Schlehorn still out there?
He just retired, but his company is still there.
Ernie
Von Schlehorn, Main Street in Menominee Falls. Did he what? Did he die?
Oh, he died. Well, that makes it a happy song, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
His memory.
We'll take that out of the... We'll edit that out. And, I'm sorry, what did you say your name was again?
Sue.
Sue, of course. It's a tough name to remember for me. Sue, and your husband's name is?
Roger.
And Roger, okay.
Roger Dodger.
Roger Dodger, interesting. How many years have you been married?
27. Coming up on 27.
Getting serious.
Kind of. A little old. Got to figure it out.
Okay. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Sue. Is it because your husband wants you to?
No, because I'd like to try it.
It's not on a bucket list, but I would like to try it.
All right, come on, Sue. You've earned the right after that drilling that I gave you. I didn't mean to, but I just wanted to make sure it was your own volition and all that. Have a seat there if you would, Sue.
Yeah.
Is he always known as Roger the Dodger?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah. Any reason for that?
Well, because he dodges things all, like work and fixing up things at home and being responsible for getting me up here.
Yeah, okay. Is that true? Oh, it's true. Okay. He didn't dodge that. He
no,
owned right up to it.
He's honest.
And so, Sue, what are you doing these days?
I'm an RN.
Oh, you're an RN?
Yeah. And I work in a hospital, actually in Mequon, Wisconsin.
In Mequon?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. And is Roger in that field, too?
No, he's not. He's an architect.
Oh, an architect.
Yeah.
Good. And like homes or buildings?
Commercial.
Commercial?
Commercial.
The big stuff.
Big stuff, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Built something there that I might have seen in Menominee Falls.
The Golden Gate Schlader Bridge.
Our house.
Memorial or what?
Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge. Wow, nice job, Roger.
No.
I didn't even know that was in Menominee Falls.
It's a different one.
It connects Mequon and Thiensville, actually. Okay, and Sue, how are things? Pretty good?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's busy this time of year.
It is, yeah.
End of the year, people, you know, wanting to get their procedures done because their deductibles are met with insurance.
I
work in the operating room. I'm a manager of an operating room, so.
What's the most popular procedure at the end of the year? They got, you know.
Hernia repair.
Hernia is a good thing to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Good.
Depends where it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely depends where it is. Yeah. And then what do you do for kicks? So, I mean, what do you find entertaining to do or recreational?
I like seeing movies.
You do?
Yeah. Music.
What about music?
Any kind of music, actually.
Oh, you like to see live music?
I don't get that opportunity very often. Well, I did today, obviously. I've got a little live music today. But no, yeah. Nor, you know, recordings, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Who you like in these days?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I like all types
Herman's
of
Hermits
music.
Or...
I can't. I don't know.
The new Christy Minstrels, any of the latest?
I used to like Julie Andrews when I was very young and musical comedies and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, okay. Well, great to have you. And you have kids? Or?
I have one child. He's actually, we're going to be picking him up after we leave here in Oshkosh. He's a sophomore, and he's all done with finals, so we're hoping he passed them.
Yeah. What's he in?
I don't know if he did.
What's he in there in Oshkosh?
He's in business, I guess.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I don't know if that's him, but that's what he's chosen at this point.
Yeah. Is he coming back home for the summer? Or no?
Well, we'd like to have him get a job, you know, at some point. So, but yeah, I guess right now he's going to come home. And
really?
Yeah. But he'll be home for Christmas, too, for about 3 weeks.
Yeah. And Christmas, too. So, you know, it's funny because sophomore year is when you lose him, I've discovered, with both my...
I think they lose... I think
they stop
they
coming
lost.
Home after sophomore year.
Yeah, he's
year.
Different. We're kind of... In a way, I think he's...
You want him to get lost.
Yeah, we do. We kind of... because they're, you know, we're kind of used to our own life, and he's used to coming in at like 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and that doesn't go over
God
very
knows
well.
Where.
Yeah, yeah, doing what? I don't want to know. He told me a couple times.
No,
said,
don't
stop.
Tell. Never.
Don't tell me anymore.
Oh, I did that in college. You ever go through that? We think, I'm going to be totally truthful about everything because I'm in college. And I sat my mother down my first year in Madison. I sat her down and I made her listen to all my sex life. Honest to God. I still can't believe it. And I thought I was doing it for all the right reasons. And she kept trying to get up. I said, Mom, sit up. So I didn't go into explicit detail, but I thought you should know for some reason.
Yeah, we had that.
Don't ever do that, kids. Kids in college.
Yeah, what? Upsetting.
No, my kids have never done that. I think that phase is over. That was truthfulness was a big thing for a while there.
Okay, yeah.
I forget what year it was.
You don't want to hear what they have to tell you.
No, definitely not. Definitely.
Sex, what did he say? Sex, alcohol, and rock and roll. And I did them all, Mom.
Simultaneously.
Thank you. Maybe.
Okay, yeah, you don't need to know that.
Don't want
to
know.
Just, you know, use your head. That's all I used to say. You know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just be careful. Okay, so anyway, Why are you shaking your head at me?
Nothing. I'm not.
I depend on you for a little tolerance.
I'll just smile and nod. I'll just grin at you.
Did you go through that truthfulness phase? Oh, I mean, that's...
No.
Okay. That's a good one. So let's play the quiz then. How do we do that?
Somebody at home who wants to play the quiz picks up the phone and dials 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
I don't know. It was the 60s. You're supposed to be truthful all of a sudden. You know, never got used to it. Okay. Here's the qualifying question then. Who is putting out a Sinatra album? Speaking of music, this just made the news now because some of you don't usually associate with the tunes of Frank Sinatra. But someone that you know is putting out a complete Frank Sinatra tribute album. The question is, who is it? Let's go to the phones right now in Hubbard, Ohio. We got Ron. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Michael. How the hell are you today?
I'm pretty darn good.
That's good, doggone it.
Yeah, doggone it is right. What are you up to, Ron?
Well, I just got done kneading the dough for my kolache, and it's in the oven rising.
You got your kolaches a-rising, huh?
Yeah.
Cool, cool. Is that an old family recipe, or...?
Yes.
Yeah?
About 50 years.
About 50 years. What do you put in them?
Walnuts, sugar, butter, and then just regular sweet roll dough.
Yeah, yeah, sounds good.
And then roll them out. They're like about 16 inches long.
Yeah. Can't roll them too thin, though, Ron.
I know. It'll leak. But the trick to that is to poke holes inside so the steam escapes.
Ah, you've thought of everything, Ron.
Yep.
Okay. So they're rising now or they're cooking now?
They're rising. The dough's rising. Okay. Then I got to roll it out and spread the nuts on it.
Okay. Who's putting out a Sinatra album?
Well, I have no idea. I'm going to take a guess, and if I get the guess right, can the next player play the quiz?
You don't want to do it?
Well, I've done it a couple times.
Oh, you have? Okay. Well, take a guess then, Ron. Let's see what happens.
Probably someone in heavy metal.
So like AC/DC doing Sinatra or something? Or?
Yeah, maybe.
No.
Okay. Well, have a Merry Christmas.
You too, Ron.
Thanks a lot.
Let's see some of those kolaches when you get them done. Tim is in Caledonia, Michigan. Hey, Tim.
Yes, hello.
We got a Caledonia, too. I guess there's a lot of them around, maybe.
Yeah, I think yours is probably more famous.
What, nothing's going on in your Caledonia?
You know, we have no snow, so it's a good time.
Yeah? You don't like snow?
Yeah, we got buried. Not for months on end, but...
Oh, that's called winter, Tim.
Don't
they usually have that in Michigan? We have it here in Wisconsin.
Well, we have it, too.
It's part of the big cycle of nature thing.
Right.
Okay. Tim, who's putting out a Sinatra album?
Is it Bob Dylan?
Oh, you got it, Tim. Bob Dylan does Sinatra. That should be the end of Sinatra as we know it. Did that surprise you to hear that, Tim?
Yes, it did. But, you know, you were just talking about the 60s, so
yeah.
maybe it's linked.
I don't think so. Probably some dysfunction that in Dylan that I don't. It's funny. I guess he's always wanted to do that, so he's doing it. What do you do these days, Tim?
Well, I work in corporate tax work.
Corporate tax work. Is that as much fun as it sounds?
It's every bit as fun as it sounds. Yes.
Yeah. Good job, though, right?
Well, I get to do taxes year round instead of once a year.
Yeah, and they're not your taxes. You don't have to pay them, so that's cool.
Yes, that helps.
Yeah. Tim, this is Sue.
Hi, Tim.
Hello, Sue.
Okay, nice. Good beginning. The two of you are a team now. You know how this works, Tim and Sue?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. You work together. You collaborate on this because it's very cooperative here. And we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Tim, you pick first one. What would you like?
About odds and ends.
Odds and ends, this could be anything. Are city spiders fatter or slimmer than their country cousins? City spiders, they tend, obviously you can't generalize about spiders or anyone else. Are city spiders fatter or slimmer than their country cousins, than country spiders?
I think if they work on the farm, they might be a little slimmer. What do you think, Sue?
I'm thinking they're fatter.
City spiders are fatter?
I think they're fatter.
That, I think that's what Tim said, too, actually.
Did he say city? Or?
Well, he was talking about the country working on a farm would make you slimmer.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll go with that.
Yeah. Ask him. He's your partner.
Well, Tim, you want to go? I'll go with what you're saying.
All right, let's go city.
Okay.
Yes, they're fatter. They just lay around. Flies come to them. We've all seen it. Especially on a porch. You know, if it was me, I would be a spider on my porch.
Totally.
What a life.
That's one right.
Doesn't get any better than that.
And zero wrong.
They come right to you, all these bugs.
Maybe it's the porch light thing.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Something like that.
Anyhow, the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Sue?
Things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Insects have now been the dominant species on Earth for how many years? Let's give you some options here. 20 million, 100 million, or 400 million years?
I'm going to say 400 million, Tim. What do you think?
Did Roger feed you that answer?
Roger fed me that answer.
Hey!
Because he's very smart.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
400 million? Yes, 400 million. Yeah, okay. However you got there.
That's two right and zero wrong, and the categories left are current events, people, places, or science.
If they had been on my porch all the time, they would not have made it because the spiders would have gone.
About science.
Science. Uh-huh. Okay, the mineral bridgmanite has been sampled for the first time. In all these years, I guess we've known about it, but we've never actually seen any of it now. So it's been sampled for the first time, yet, A, it's the most abundant mineral on Earth, B, it's found in our fingernails, or C, it's easily made with a ChemCraft chemistry set.
Who plays?
That's a lot to think about. Yeah. Bridgmanite.
I'm thinking maybe the fingernails, because I thought carbon was most abundant.
Okay, or it's the most abundant mineral on or in Earth.
Or... Well, it could be there's so much of it that it gets under your fingernails.
So you want to weigh in on this?
I'm kind of thinking it might be the first one, the most abundant.
Ah.
Well, this is the season of abundance. We can go.
What does Roger think? Hey!
Sorry.
I was being ironic or something.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really. I'm not listening to my husband. I thought that. I don't mean it bad. I thought it was the first one to begin with, Tim, and I think I'm getting the feeling it might be the first one here.
He's saying it's actually the most abundant mineral on Earth or in it, and yet, even though we're just sampling it for the first time.
I'm thinking that's true.
Okay, Tim?
Yeah, I would say so, too.
Yes, that's right. It is found in the Earth's mantle. It's 36% of the volume of the Earth is bridgmanite, and we've never, because it's down deep in there, and somehow they coughed it up somehow. And holy cow.
They've won.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what have they won then?
Oh, well, Sue, you've won a canister of emergency googly eyes, which is 20 pairs in 4 different sizes. Just expose their adhesive backs and start sticking them on stuff from Archie McPhee. Tim gets some insight into Michael's life in 1965 and the song Maybe Next Christmas in Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman from Terrace Books. And both of you can send holiday greetings to one and all with 2 dozen vintage What Do You Know postcards and delight in the music of a man whose heart was in Poland while the rest of him stayed in Paris on the CD What Do You Know About Chopin with sentimental liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to you both.
All that Chopin.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great job. You're very proud of it, Roger.
Thank you, Tim.
It's never too late to get your What Do You Know holiday office party tickets. Come join us on Saturday, December 20th. Sometimes film critic Michael Phillips and polka legend Steve Meisner will headline the fun. Plus, there'll be plenty of food, nog, and What Do You Know cheer. For tickets, head over to notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thanks for coming, you guys, and thanks for listening. And don't forget Office Party next week on the 20th. Be there, be Harvey Square. Lots of free food and knock.
And polka.
and Tolka and Nog. Softer. Down. Bring down. Bring way down.
PRI, Public Radio International.